This is the Taney County Commission, and we are back from recess. And our next order of business is an update with Dr. Hyder regarding the Branson schools. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Commissioner Housen. Thank you. I've had a chance to visit with both the other gentlemen, so thanks for letting me be here today. I'm going to come over here where I can see the screen. And
would you like me to move those chairs?
I think I'm good. Thank you very much. Just wanted to take a few minutes this morning, as we try to do each year, and just give you a little bit of update of some of the things that are going on at Branson Schools. Obviously, all of us working together at the city, county, local levels, extremely important, and we just want to make sure you kind of know where we're at and what's going on and keep you updated about some of the things that we're working on. So with that, I'll just walk you through a brief PowerPoint presentation. Certainly stop me with any questions, or at the end be glad to answer any questions that you might have about the information. I'll start just, a lot of people ask, who's our current Board of Education? I came in July of 2003, and there's one remaining board member that's still here, and that's Dr. Peter Marcellus. We've had turnover in all the other areas. But our current board, Dr. Marcellus is board president, Teresa Givens, vice president, and then our members, Roger Fries, Debbie Keller, Craig Westcott, Jeff Smethers, and Dan Boone. Our elections are every April. And with a seven-member board, we rotate years, two members. And this is the year that we have three members. And here's a copy of the ballot. We've removed the other items, just pertinent to the school board. But this is our ballot for this year. Our three incumbents, Jeff Smethers, Teresa Givens, and Craig Westcott, have all refiled. And then you see Josh Smith, Chris Peters, and Dale Spielman are three challengers. And we'll be voting for three. And that will be on Tuesday, I believe that's April 8th, first Tuesday after the first Monday in April. So again, just some information for you about what's on the ballot for Branson Schools, and obviously that would be our only ballot issue. We always like to start a little bit. We're proud of our school district. And I've said this before, when I was at Logan Rogersville before I came to Branson, and people would call me about moving to the Springfield area, and my common answer was that we're certainly biased at Logan Rogersville. We think we have a very good district, but you can pick any district around Springfield and your kids will get a quality education. And I think that's applicable here in Taney County, too. We're very fortunate to have strong school districts, but we're specifically proud of the Missouri Distinction and Performance Award, and we've met that criteria for nine straight years. And as you three gentlemen know, that has a lot to do with the people that you work with and the job that they do on a daily basis. But that's the cornerstone of what we do, hopefully, preparing kids. And, again, we think that speaks a little bit, hopefully, that we're doing the right things for kids each and every year. This is just a model, kind of a foundation of what we do. We believe heavily in collaboration there in the middle of a teamwork approach. The PLC model, that's professional learning communities. And we really work hard at building teams at Branson administratively with our Board of Education and our faculty and staff. And then around the center, you're going to see character education, our Taney County initiative we think is important. Interventions, meaning taking students where they are and finding ways to help them move to the next level. And then at the bottom, you see our comprehensive literacy model, which is English language arts, basically communication skills. And then differentiated instruction, which deals with taking a child and understanding that we're all unique and different. We learn at different rates. And how can we find ways to help them get better? The picture behind, I neglected on our first slide, but you probably saw, this is the 100th year anniversary of Branson High School. And so this is one of our history pictures back of Branson years ago. And Dr. Swofford is a little bit of our resident expert on some of our history. And we feel like we've got a strong foundation, not only from the past, but going forward into the future. Here's just some information about the district. Here's enrollment. You can see all the way back to 1980, and I've included from 2010 until current, you can see substantial growth. I came in July of 2003. We were at about 3,300 students. We grew to about 4,400 there in 2010, and then we've peaked this year at 4,673. The takeaway from this graph for us is, if you look at the last 2 to 3 years, growth has somewhat slowed. We've been fairly stable. And that's not been uncommon at Nixa, Ozark, Republic, Willard, and some of those districts also. You know, Ozark and Nixa was growing 250 kids a year there for a number of years. So we've seen a little bit of decline in growth, and things are fairly static. We think there's a lot of reasons. I think a major reason probably is the tail end of the 2008 recession and a few years kind of that catching up a little bit. But gives you an idea about growth, and we're holding our own but not growing at the rate that we were. Here's ethnicity. This probably doesn't surprise you. About 85% Caucasian. Notice our second largest group is Hispanic, almost 10%. Those two have changed a little bit. When I first came to the district, we were about 88-89% Caucasian, 4-5% Hispanic. The other groups, the African-American, Asian, Indian, and then other, those really haven't changed a whole lot. They've been fairly stable. But the Hispanic group has risen 3-4%, almost doubled in the 10-11 years that I've been there. We continue to see that just a little. One of the common things you'll hear about Branson, and we're very fortunate with our tourism economy to have strong assessed valuation. Well, other school districts will use the term rich, and we are, from a local perspective, we get a lot of our revenue locally. But we have a lot of kids on free and reduced more than most people would think. Here's a breakdown by building, and you can see it lessens at the junior high and high school. I'm not so sure that those percentages really are that much less, but that's fairly common. Those of you, you've had kids, you remember how kids are in high school. They are a little hesitant sometimes to fill out the forms when they get a little bit older. But district-wide, we're still at 56% free and reduced, which, again, surprises a lot of people. To put that in context, if you took, let's say, an Ozark, a Nixa, some of the suburban Springfield schools, they're probably going to be about half that, 20-25% range. So a little bit of a contrast there, and again, some of our smaller districts are going to be higher than that, obviously, Taneyville, Forsyth, Kirbyville, et cetera. Here's just some other district data, about 620 employees, about 110 square miles in the district, all the way from the bridge there at Hollister, all the way down to the Taney County line there at Saddlebrook. So we have fairly extensive, and then a little bit east and west, Reed Spring and Forsyth. 174 attendance days. A budget of approximately $49 million. We're proud of our graduation rate, about 92%. We've increased that over the last few years in the way that's calculated. Average ACT score is 22.4 this year. The Missouri average is 21.6. So we're well above the state average. We have more kids taking the ACT today than ever before. This is something that not a lot of districts deal with, but our homeless population. And I'm going to put this next one up here, mobility rate. We have a 6.6% homeless population, which is pretty high for a district of our nature. Our mobility rate, that's the number of kids in and out during the year, is also fairly high. We think some of that's due to seasonal employment. They talked to me about this when I came to the district over a decade ago, and that continues to be something we have to think about a little bit, which is fairly dissimilar to a lot of districts, kids in and out of the district during the year.
Is that an annual rate, mobility rate?
Or yes, that's a fairly, and I took that from this year's numbers. And what we do is we track in our system by building. Here's a student came in, went out, came back in, and how many have gone in, and then we take that and divide it by the total and get that percentage. And that's been, again, fairly common during my tenure with the district. And then revenue sources were heavily financed locally. 69.9%, 22.5% by the state, and then a little under 10% federal. This summer, we finished some building projects. This is our newest building, Buchanan Elementary, which is located across there from the high school on the Buchanan campus, there by the new Buchanan Intermediate. We're really proud, about 105,000 square feet. We did come in well under budget on these projects, and I'll say more about that in just a second. So we now have the two elementary campus system, Cedar Ridge Campus, which is over, of course, in town, where we have a pre-KK building, a 1-3 building, and a 4-6 building. And then at Buchanan, we have the new building is a K-3, and then Buchanan Intermediate is a 4-6. Our hope in the future is to add a pre-KK building at the Buchanan campus and have mirrored campuses. So a student can come to school in pre-kindergarten down the road and stay on that campus through sixth grade, and then go to seventh and eighth and then funnel back to the high school. We think lessening transitions is pretty important, so that's kind of our long-range master plan in order to get that done. We also added this wing at the high school, which we call the ninth grade center. And we have teams, core subject area teams, and elective teams that work with our freshmen, and they spend most of their day in this part of the building. Now, they will go to other parts of the building for PE, music, and some of the electives, but they have core teams that work with these kids. We looked at some data at last month's board meeting. Discipline incidents were down with freshmen. Attendance rates were up. Failing grades were down. So it's just 1 year of data, but we think a concentrated program for kids at the freshman level to really get them off to a good start in high school is pretty important, and so that's why we've added the ninth grade center. We also added the activity center there on the north end of the stadium. This is a multi-purpose area, wrestling room, locker rooms, training area for all of our fall sports. We moved some of our coaches out here also to open up space inside. Very nice facility. We can also use it for a lot of community events, different things. I know we've talked, and I don't know where we're going to land. I know Mrs. Neely's here. We do voting, of course, at Branson High School. I know they were going to look at, could we use the activity center for voting? I don't know what they're thinking about that, but it's a nice facility for us, and we've added that this year also. Before I hit goals for the future, I'll just say this. We did come in under budget on our bond issue, so we had some money remaining, and I know you are all aware that that money can only be spent for capital projects. We can't add teachers. We can't raise salaries. We can't buy books. We have to spend it for capital, and right now we are doing some renovations at Branson Junior High on the back side to add classroom space for the future. Growth is stagnated, but we can do that now. We're also going to put a roof on at the high school. We're also, as a part of that project, going to put turf on the performance field at the high school. Right now, it's limited in its usage, and because we're pretty well landlocked as far as additional practice space, we're going to put the money in to put turf down. And then we can use it for from band to flags. People can be on it all the time, and we think that's going to be a really good thing for us. So we're still those projects will be going on this spring. And then goals for the future, just three or four key areas. Early childhood education, we started a pay-for program this year for pre-kindergarten students. We also have a Missouri Preschool Project grant that we just started that's somewhat subsidized by the state, where parents will pay tuition based on a sliding scale according to what they can afford to pay. And we're seeing a lot in Springfield, if you're reading the newsletter. The state of Missouri also has early childhood education as one of its major goals by 2020. So we want to continue to enhance. We haven't been able to do as much with that in the past as we'd like because we didn't have any space. But now that we've transitioned and moved everyone, we have space in our pre-K facility to get that started. And again, down the road, we want to eventually add that over on the other campus. This one goes without saying, and that's technology. And how do we use technology in the classroom as a tool? You have kids, grandkids, and other people in your family that you see your family members, especially the younger ones. It's amazing. They'll get their telephones out and their iPads. And if you're like me, sometimes you have to have them help you program a VCR or whatever you're doing. They're so proficient in trying to incorporate. We really are working hard on access for kids at school to use technology and how they do that on a day-to-day basis. So again, another key focus for us as we go forward. This is one we've talked a lot about, I'll just define it here briefly, student needs. You know, we're very unique with our mobility rate, growing Hispanic population, our homeless population. How do we help meet the needs of students, especially pre-kindergarten, as we bring them in for early childhood education? And I think that's something as a community that we need to think more about, because if kids come hungry or upset or abused, they're not going to be able to learn. And so it's a real key area for us, I think, as we go forward to talk about how we can really meet student needs on a variety of levels. Think back to when we were in school. I don't remember if we even had a school nurse. We have nurses, social workers, the food service now that we have, both for breakfast and lunch. We also do a summer food service program, really, really growing. So an area we need to watch. And then getting kids college and career ready, which starts from pre-K education all the way up through high school, being rigorous, challenging students, getting them ready for college or career so that when they leave, they can go out. If they need to get a job, that they're going to be on time, they're going to be able to work with people. If they go to college, they're going to be prepared. And so really key goal for us in just making sure when kids leave us that they're ready to do what it is that they need to do. I'll kind of close with this thought, and then I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have. But I like to share this story because I think it illustrates hopefully what we're trying to do at Branson. I know in all public schools in the state. But a dad one day was busy and didn't have a lot to do, and his kids were wanting to play. And he said, well, here, let me give you a little something to do for a few minutes. Let me finish up, and then we'll spend some time together. And he had this map of the world. And he had gotten it out of a magazine, so he kind of tore it into pieces and cut it up. And he said, here, you guys go put this together, and then when you get finished, we'll play. Well, a few minutes elapsed, and here come his kids, and he was kind of surprised. And they said, look, Dad, we've put the world together. And he said, well, golly, that's really good. How did you do that? And the kid's answer to him was, on the back of the map, there are pictures of a bunch of kids. And here's what the students or the children said to their dad, when you put the kids together right, then the world will be all right. And I really like that story because I think it illustrates, again, hopefully, what we're trying to do as a public schools. And as I mentioned earlier, very fortunate to have quality schools in Taney County, but to put kids together right. And that's our primary focus of what we try to do each and every day. So, as we celebrate our 100-year anniversary, those are just a few facts about Branson Schools that I want to share. If you want copies, I know she has a copy of the presentation on the desktop. You can make copies of that if you want hard copies or save them to your files to have some data about the district. So with that, Commissioner Houseman, I'll stop, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Gentlemen.
Well, first, let me say, what an excellent presentation. I'm shocked by a number of things that I saw that I guess I just didn't realize. First is the mobility rate. Yeah. It's hard to get my arms around that you've got a 31% mobility rate within the school district. It just seems like that in itself is, or would be, an incredible challenge. The homeless rate. The Hispanic rate, that has really grown. I see that probably in the future to be a continuing growth rate. I'm also surprised by how many people that are on the free lunch program. That really surprised me. I think 63, 60.
Yeah, in our elementary schools, you're over 60%. Yeah, district-wide 56%, but at the elementaries, it's over 60, yeah.
And did I see that you have 620
mm-hmm.
employees in the school system?
Uh-huh.
That's huge. I met just a few weeks ago with cities and villages representing those individuals from those districts that were concerned about sewer and what we're doing with sewer and the pass-through dollars that the county's passing through to the incorporated areas to work on capital improvements. And we chatted about common challenges that we have, how to continue that program. And I suggested to them that day that in the near future, I would hopefully be contacting all the cities and villages, the schools, health center, ambulance district, and other poly subs within the county. And I'm hopeful that we can all get together to have a summit or a meeting to talk about common challenges and overlapping boundaries and areas that maybe we could prioritize and help one another. And I hope that you would be receptive to that.
We would.
And help me get the word out. I hopefully will be putting that together in the next 2 weeks to extend an invitation. There are too many of us that have similar challenges in the different political entities that we could be, I think, helping one another and through the combined efforts maybe do a more effective job within the community.
Yeah, we'd be glad to be a part of that. I think you're right, Commissioner. We kind of feel like we're at one of those kind of crossroad places, maybe, you know, growth has kind of stabilized. We've transitioned as a school, as you say. I think we've kind of maybe gotten out of that recession. I think Branson's reinventing itself a little bit, some things around the county. So I agree. It'd be a great time. We'd be glad to be a part of that.
Do you guys have questions about the presentation?
I think it's a great presentation. One thing that I was kind of
interested in is comparable to, compared to other schools in the county as far as the balance of each one of these things that you've brought forward to us percentage-wise, if they are somewhat in that, or are they shifting one way or the other to where there's like the transition of children that are moving from the 33% or so, are they in other school districts? Are they moving completely out of the area?
Do you think that's just the Branson School, or is it Forsyth?
I think it's a lesser percentage. Now, this is just kind of anecdotal information, but according to our counselors, we have quite a few kids that will do some movement kind of in the area. Yeah. Reed Spring, Forsyth, Branson, Kirbyville, Taneyville type thing. So that happens some, and then there are some out of the area too, but there is quite a bit of movement within this area.
Yeah. I can speak to that. We just ran our data through NCOA, change of address, getting ready for the canvas, and we received back over 3,000 people that had moved, either within the county or out of the state or within another county. So we're in the process of mailing out those letters and getting confirmation that they either moved within the county or somewhere else. So it happens every year. We have a lot of people that move there.
There's been real changes on your campus, too. I mean, it's just incredible growth. And obviously it's impacted by the increase in the students that your graph so clearly pointed out over the past few years. It's just been an amazing transformation in that school district.
Yeah.
They're quiet.
That's okay.
We appreciate your presentation. And I look forward to chatting with you about the possibility of putting all the entities together to chat in the near future. And you say that we do have a copy of that?
Yes, she has a copy on the desktop. So
excellent.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time. Do you have any closing remarks, sir?
No, other than, you know, we just want to continue the good relationship. I mean, if we, and I say the Tri-Lakes area, if we're going to succeed, we're going to have to work together in all aspects, and we want to be a productive part of that and a collaborative part of that. So if there's anything we can ever do along the way, summit, anything else, and we'll do the same. We appreciate that.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate
it.
Let us stand in recess until 11:17, when we're going to have a report on flood buyouts and I believe some contracts to sign today.